session number 22659, reel 5.
This is the third reel of a taped interview with George Wright in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 27th of the 11th, 2001, to the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. I wanted to talk to you about March 30th, March 30th, 31st actually, at the Axis counterattack, start pushing the forces back from Benghazi and places like that. Were you aware of that at all? Had you heard of people like Rommel, for instance?
Oh, yes. We were, I think at that stage, around the Meuse-Matruh area, and I realised that the area up through Turkey and down through Syria was threatened by the pulled us out from Matruh, and we went over back into Palestine at a place in from Haifa. I just can't think of its name now. And we were there for some weeks until finally we were we moved into Syria against the French.
Before we get there, have you heard of how successful the Germans were in to your west?
To
North Africa? Have you heard about what they were up to? The siege of Tobruk had started on the 9th, and
yes,
then the 11th of April.
We had an idea, but it was not forced onto us. But they'd done well there. But we could do better by going up into Syria, which...
To what degree did the success of the Germans and Italians now on your forces have on your morale and feelings of confidence?
Well, it certainly had us worried, and we knew we had to do something about it, and we were sitting there in Matruh, not doing much, and then they pulled us out and pushed us round into to go into Syria.
Did you understand the reason for you going into Syria at the time?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us what you knew?
Well, we were going into Syria because our information was that the Germans were coming in, were trying to come in through the top of Syria, and over through Turkey, and down there, and down into Palestine, or into that area and get possession of it.
What would that have meant? Did you understand what that would have meant if they'd gotten into places like Palestine?
Well, they could have controlled the Middle East with a lot of production values and things like that, oil and that.
Had you heard, for instance, about the situation in Greece and Crete?
Maybe yes, we'd heard about
the Germans there.
Yeah, had forced our fellows back, and our chaps were quietly withdrawing out from there, back into Palestine. I know. Well, early in the piece, before we'd gone over to Matruh, that one or two officers had been sent over from Greece, our officers from Greece Way, to pass the information on. Well, that's as far as we knew what might happen, you see. course, I was down then as a lieutenant and a junior officer. Well, I wasn't that young, I was getting a bit old, you see. Yeah, that's...
So, you were to be sent off to Syria on June the 8th.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts of the general commanders at the time?
Oh, God.
A bit like Wavell.
Oh, I...
Did you have an attitude towards them at all?
We didn't know much about him, personally.
What about the confidence of...
Well, he was the commander, you see, and of course, well, I suppose. Well, we had our confidence in the commander, and we had to make the best of it. It's getting way down, it's a way down the ranks. It's a bit of a problem, you know, to make a decision for the top people.
What about your attitudes then of people like Major Potts, who's a figure that lots of people talk about?
Oh, Potto, I had a great amount of respect for him.
Why?
Oh, just the man that he was. He was a plain, clean living man, and he was easy to get on with, and he was one of the old hard working class in those days. He was a farmer down Katanning, down that way somewhere, and oh yes, I knew old Potto. That is...
How is he seen by the majority of the men?
Well, I'd say 100%. Because, anyone could speak to him. He never hit or anything like that. And, he was, 2IC there after a while. Yeah. Yep. Oh, he used to, now I come to think of it, he was a member of the 25th Light Horse in those days. Of course, there weren't light horsemen in those days, they were only by name. That was, they were motorised.
How are those things? How the 25th Light Horse scene?
Well, that I couldn't give you.
What was their reputation?
Well, all we can say is it was acceptable, but they weren't sent overseas. 25th Light Horse. See? The thing that they might have been. It was cavalry units, called cavalry units, but they were motorised. Eh? This was just out of respect for an old unit that they had that name.
Were you given any briefings about going into Syria as the 8th of June approached and what your plan would be?
No, we were not given any plan until we established ourselves inland from Haifa. Now, I just can't think of the name of the area, but it had eucalyptus trees. Australian trees on it. And we were there doing exercises, minor exercises, and we couldn't go out and do a major exercise. It is a complete unit. Done in the smaller ones. Of course, we finally sat there till we were, or lived there until we were moved up to Syria. And,
tell us about the preparing to leave, to go to Syria.
To go to Syria? Well, we were prepared all the way. See, when we went there, when we were over in Matruh, you see, we were fighting, ready to fight, and the same over there since we went over there. See? Oh, yes, we're in a forward area.
Where were you to be sent in relation to the operations of the Syrian campaign?
Where was I sent?
There were several different approaches, weren't there?
Yes, well, we were on the towards the coastal approach. Some of 25 Brigade was it? We're inland a bit. Oh, 25 miles, I think it was. We were towards the coast, and we had to go over to the Tani River. At the start of it, of course, we started before we went over the river. We came under fire.
How did you feel about the idea that you were actually heading into combat for the first time?
Was just happening. Well, it's either the start or the finish. You never can tell.
Did you give yourself the time to think about what might happen?
Well, you didn't. You know, you had so many things on your mind and that, but well, if it was going to happen, it would happen. Yes.
So you weren't afraid?
Oh. I won't say afraid. I was weary. Not poking my head out everywhere. Well, as soon as the show started, there was fellas behind us. Got knocked. Matter of fact, there was a 3-inch mortar down the slope behind us. And they hit some of that. And I remember a fellow over on my right, he got knocked. And then an old mate, only 2 feet away, and he got knocked.
What was the feeling of being in a situation where you had mates falling by your side? What was that like?
Well, you had you worried. Well, I don't mind saying that. And, of course, when you got your stretcher bearers, if they could, and the fellow alongside me, he never even moved. Just had one hole in him, and that was the end of it. And apparently, we were on a gun target, and they just swept the bloody. And down in the hollow, one of our officers, captain, he lost the best part of one of his feet. Just haven't let him down there.
So this is the real thing. You're actually experiencing gunfire.
Yeah.
And people falling.
Yeah. Well,
how did
you get your stretcher bearers to attend to them, you see? Well,
given the fact that this is the first
you
time.
You attend to them yourself, you see, first, to give them immediate assistance until the bearers got there. Of course, it depends on the situation, you see. If there's that much pressure on you, you might have to just fight and ignore them, you see, and trust to providence a bit for them to be attended to, if the stretcher bearers can get up to you, things like that. They just can't get up and walk away.
Was it a surprise that you were actually under fire?
Oh no, we sort of expected it.
I get the impression that
we'd cop it at any rate.
I get the impression that some people had hoped that the French would not fight.
Oh yes, they wore felt hats and things like that, you see.
What were the stories that you heard about the French?
Oh, they'll, I think it was that they'd lay down their arms, you see, but the Vichy there, no, wasn't on.
As I understand, if you wore your slouch hats.
Yeah.
Did you wear your slouch hat?
Well, I suppose so, I don't know.
The idea was that they would see your slouch hats and
they're Australian, you see. Yeah.
Allies from the First World War.
Mm.
What was the general attitude towards the fact that the Vichy French were sympathetic to the Nazis?
Well, we're a bit hostile.
Why?
Well, because they're against us.
Was that really the attitude, or was it sort of them fighting for their survival, do you think? Is that something you thought about as soldiers?
No. No. They're on the wrong side, that was it. Well, you couldn't trust people you didn't know. Yeah.
What's it like, the initial experience of gunfire? Bullets flying by. How do you keep yourself going forward?
Well, it so happened that I wasn't going forward. I was we're a reserve company, and we're on the back of a crest of a hill, ready to support the people in front and ready to go forward. Well, of course, the French knew the ground we were on and they sprayed it even while we were waiting, you see, flat on the ground. And I'll admit, some of them hadn't had it at them before. Well, neither had I, not directly. But, of course, they copped it.
One of the concerns that I hear that people have is that they won't be able to hold their bottle when the time comes.
Hold their what?
They won't be able to handle it when the time comes.
Yeah.
Is that a concern for you? A concern that you might let the team down?
I don't know. I wouldn't commit myself to that. Well, the time came and I just had to. That's all there was about it. Although, I'll admit, for some reason or other, I didn't last long there. As I told you before, I developed, what was it now? Dysenteric arthritis.
Can you describe that to us?
Well, dysenteric arthritis. Case of the trots and the limbs. And I hadn't experienced it before, and neither had the army. And blow me, when I got into hospital, there was a mate of mine who'd come out of Greece, a major who was there from the artillery, 6th Div. And
So your joints are sort of seized up because of lack of water, dehydration.
I don't know. I'd come over from Egypt, you see. We'd come from Egypt and into there, and I'd had them tricked. And me being a loot, I was the example. When I was in the hospital, in the ward, the doctors had came in and inspected me, and that, and they didn't worry about the major. I was the sample of the 7 AGH.
What had the major told you about his experiences in Greece?
He didn't tell me. Oh, well, mind you, he wasn't too good. Dick Bale, he was a local fellow, and from Richard Purser, I think it was. I don't know whether you remember them. They were farm machinery people from out Bassendean way. And I think he was a partner in it. And,
So what was the, tell us about the experience as regard the conditions where you were taken when you were sick. Can you describe the place to us?
The
hospital where you stayed.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, I was in the hospital and I stayed there for, I think it was something like 6 weeks. And then I was in convalescent for, I think, another fortnight in the hospital. They had a convalescent ward, which they observed one and gave them exercise. And then after that, I think it was a fortnight in Cairo. They sent us over there to relieve our mind. I don't know why the reason was, but matter of fact, I think I still suffer from it. Bloody joints and all these days are, my legs are sort of at it. I don't know what size they are now. He's up a bit. He's not. This is the worst one. Look at that. Oh, he's been worse than that.
Those are the swellings in your leg.
Yeah. Oh, it's under treatment.
I wanted to discuss with you the situation in the hospital and how you were treated.
Well,
did you experience BAD, the nursing sisters?
Oh, well, I was treated along with the rest of them. We were in a isolation ward because they were scared that we might pass it on. See? Oh, no, it was... no complaints at any time about the nursing services or the VADs. See, there's the nursing service and the VAD. They were, the general service people, VADs.
Volunteer aid detachment. These would have been women from Australia, was it?
Oh, yes.
To see women from Australia?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was the 7AGH. I don't think they called it the second. The 7AGH. And, of course, their staff came from Australia. And, I think it was 2 weeks I had over there. And then I came back to a depot in Palestine. The hostilities had eased off then. I wouldn't say they'd ceased, but they'd eased off. And, yes, they'd ceased, that was it. And I was in the transit unit, or what was it now? Or recruit depot, or whatever they called the blooming thing. And I was in there, and the unit applied for me to go back. Well, apparently at the same time, divisional headquarters had also claimed me, and the battalion was going to want me back at the unit to take over one of the subunits, company I think it was, and division said, no, we want him. So I was detached for, 6 or 8 weeks, I think, and sent down a bit further down in Palestine. And I was there handling people that were being sent down from the unit for leave and that. And of course, the unit was going crook because they didn't have me, and the division had me there. And I was there right until they started to move back to, as we thought, to Malaysia. See? And, units were coming back through and loading up down in Port Said. And, there it was, so... Well,
this would have been sort of after the Japanese had entered.
Yeah.
What did you hear of the Japanese entering in December, Pearl Harbor?
Now, let me see. We must have heard something. I couldn't say what it is now. Because, I remember now, it was a bit of discussion. What are they going to do with us here, see? Well, we reckon we should be going back. And, apparently, there was a discussion on. And they start to move us back. See? Well, I didn't go directly back to the unit. We had a place down in... further down in Palestine, where the unit was concentrated. And I caught up with the unit there. I hadn't seen them as a total unit for a while. And next thing we're loading onto the, I'm not sure, I think it was the Rajula. Then we went down to Colombo. We were loaded onto another ship there, a bigger ship. And then...
you were heading off to Malaysia.
Yeah, we headed off to Malaysia there.